Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for September 5th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by Liana. How you doing, Liana?
Doing well. It's another day, another step closer to the end of Big Brother 19, so pretty happy about that.
We're slowly marching on. Yes, we are live on Google Hangouts. You can watch us on YouTube, on robiswebsite.com. If you want to chat, we have the chat room on the robiswebsite.com page for this podcast, so make sure you check that out. If you need a link, I just tweeted it out, or you can just go to the robiswebsite.com page. And how many more times can I say robiswebsite.com? All right. So we are here to talk about everything that happened on the feeds yesterday, and we kick off the day with a bit of a talk between Josh and Jason. Usually Kevin and Jason have some interesting conversations in the morning, but this time it was with Josh, where Jason was talking about Kevin, basically saying, you know, I like the guy. But and you know, sometimes I feel like people are just making stuff up about him so that I'll be on board with taking him out. But I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Shocker. Like, people would lie in the Big Brother house. People would make up stuff about other people. That's just insanity. That would never happen.
Yeah. You know, trust your instincts, Jason. Don't let Alex degrade them. But yeah. So Jason, you know, still in this weird situation. He likes Kevin, but he feels like Kevin has dug his own grave, so he has to let him go. And that's sort of where we are with Jason. Obviously, Jason going to be somewhat shocked when he finds out that he will be the one leaving.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we could talk about this later. There's a possibility it might not be a complete blindside, but you know, in contrast to last week, and we'll talk about this, but the veto was used. Kevin is put up. And so everybody is still going along with the fact that Kevin is the one that's going to be evicted this week. And so Jason really is in for a rude awakening, especially considering all these things he's heard about. We're getting out Kevin, you know, these are all the bad things I've heard about Kevin. Oh, he's such a slime ball and so annoying or whatever. All of the rumors that people have been making up. So I think that this is going to be a shock on a lot of different levels for Jason when the other shoe drops on Thursday.
Yes. All right. So then we have the veto ceremony. Paul uses the veto on Alex. Kevin goes up in her place. This is the plan. Kevin pretty immediately, he's pretty down. A lot of the people in the house are pretty down right now. But Kevin, he's just like, you know what? I don't care. I'll be happy to get out of this place. It's very sad.
Yeah, I mean, he talked about it. He was like, I'll be glad to get out of here. And to be honest, I'm conflicted between Kevin is for me still one of the people that I like in the house. And that is a very, very short list. It's got one person, Kevin, on it. But on the other hand, I care about his mental stability and sanity, and I feel like he really does need to be removed from the house. So I know that he is not going to go home this week, but if he were to go on the double, that's actually probably not the worst thing for him and like his long-term mental health.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, Big Brother is a hard, we'll talk about this a little later too, because there are people that are kind of like breaking down here, but Big Brother is like a hard thing to do anyway. And I think that this season in particular, it's so hostile. It's so built on lies. Like, normally it gets to a point where it's like, well, now we're just kind of facing off in competitions, or, you know, lines are drawn. Like, we know where everyone stands, but like, everybody feels like they're like wobbling on a house of cards. Everybody. And it's so hostile. I feel like it's really degrading their mental state. I think it's clear to see.
Yeah, I mean, keeping up with lies, lies upon lies upon lies, right? It is this house of cards. It's much more difficult, right? Because if you have a situation where everything kind of crumbles and everything is out on the table and you're actually having genuine fights, you know, that can actually be useful in kind of releasing some of this like built up tension. But even a lot of the fights are predicated on misinformation. So, you know, even when they're trying to get stuff out, it's not really solving that problem. And so just like you said, I mean, this is like this season in particular has been really, really difficult, I think, on the mental health of some of the people in the house.
Yeah. So Kevin goes to Paul and he's like, should I still be acting cool? Like, what am I doing here? And Paul goes, actually, no, you should probably act a little bit worried. Just act a little bit worried. He's like, okay, but what about the votes? I mean, I feel like I'm not going to have a lot of votes here. Paul's like, don't ask any more. No more questions. You're good. Don't talk to me anymore. Read your Bible. Everything's fine.
Again, like another red flag. I mean, Kevin is just, if he were truly a pawn, why would Paul not tell him, yes, you know, we're going to vote to keep you? And so this, again, like this is just so, must be so frustrating for Kevin that he really can't get a straight answer. Paul is continuing to abuse him, dismiss him, and cast him aside. And so, you know, again, like maybe if Kevin were to leave, this wouldn't be the worst thing for him.
Yes. Leslie in the chat says, I'm ready to go climb the wall and give Kevin a hug and make him a sandwich. Yeah.
No, seriously. That's what I'm saying. Like, I go back. We should not spend money on any type of banner plane. We're not going to change the outcome of the season. We need to airdrop somebody into the Big Brother house to hug Kevin. Like, if we could get a GoFundMe for that, like, that's what we should do with our money.
Yes. Kevin's just still being completely blocked from any kind of game talk. His best friend, Jason, has told him, like, sorry, man, we're on the block against each other now. Like, anything you say to me will be used against you. He has nobody to talk to. Like, who's left? Christmas and Josh are in on this plan. Paul is telling him, shut up, don't talk to me. Jason is saying, sorry, I gotta let you go. Alex hates his guts. And Raven is Raven. So it's like, you can see like his mental state is just like, how, this poor guy.
I'm really thinking we're going to end up with a castaway type situation where Kevin ends up crafting some sort of new best friend out of whatever he can find in the house. He'll have his own very like version of Wilson.
Yes. Hey, Cody, we're still going to make that deal, right? We're still going to down to top 7, top 8.
I know we just, but this is very sad. But it's all I can do to like get through the season. Like, just keep laughing, Liana. Just keep laughing and everything will be okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Christmas and Josh talk about Raven. We talked about this on the round table last night, but there has been a lot of talk about Raven potentially winning a jury vote, especially between Christmas and Josh, but Paul gets involved as well. As annoying as they find her, they do think that there is some sympathy there that she could potentially win, not only through sympathy, but also just because she's done basically nothing. So if the jury is bitter, she's an easy alternative.
Right. Yeah. And especially like you, y'all discussed last night, up against Christmas in particular, that could be a situation in which Raven could possibly win the game, because of a number of different factors, but especially if Paul ends up being bitter because either Josh or Christmas was the one to get rid of him at say final five, then that could be a situation in which Paul would work to maybe get Raven the votes, which would just be a very bizarre twist and insane way to end the season.
Yeah. it's surprising like how scared they are of Raven's jury potential, given how much they complain about her. It's really something that is present in the Big Brother house. And like I mentioned on the roundtable, they do plan on taking Raven out before Kevin. We could see Raven leave in this double eviction, which I really think is a huge mistake for Paul.
Yeah, I absolutely think it's a huge mistake, but I do understand, kind of where they're coming from, because this has been the situation the whole season. There's been this discrepancy between how one-on-one the house guests interact with Raven and find her annoying and think that a lot of the things she's saying could be lies. But then there's also how they think how she's perceived by other people. So it's like how they feel versus how she's perceived. And if she's perceived as this sympathetic, woman who is dealing with a lot of issues, then obviously people are going to want to gravitate and vote for her, if that is truly the case. And so I think that that's what, Christmas and Josh and Paul are all kind of dealing with, is how is she actually perceived in this situation? And how would she actually be perceived when it comes to jury votes?
Yes. So Paul has a plan for the double eviction. Well, granted, he doesn't know it's a double eviction, but he has a plan for next week. And the plan is, if he does win this HOH, which it seems as though he will try for it, which I'm not a fan of. As long as Alex is out of the competition, I don't think Paul needs to be anywhere near there. And honestly, even if Alex does win the competition, I don't think Paul needs to win this. I think there'll be plenty of opportunities to take Alex out. She's not going to be able to beat Paul every single time, and she's never going to take a shot at Paul. So I don't think he needs to do this, but it does seem like he's going to try. And if he does win the HOH, his plan right now is he's going to put up Kevin and Raven, and then whoever wins the veto will take Kevin down, and then he will put Alex up in her in his place, saying to Alex, oh, I just don't want you to have to be a vote against Raven. You already pissed Matt off. I don't want you to have to piss Raven off too. And then whoops, oh, Alex, you got voted. Oh my God, I can't believe this happened to me twice. Jason and now you. Oh, what a silly man I am.
I never would have seen this coming. Yeah, and you know, part of the reason also is, well, we can't put Alex up right away because she's going to be pissed off and she's definitely going to gun for the veto. And so this is, you know, even though backdooring isn't really an option at this point, because I believe everybody is going to play in veto, you know, this is Paul's plan. And he's, you know, while Alex is obviously his ideal target, taking out either Kevin or Raven would also be fine for him. So, you know, that's like, that's what he wants to go with. And while this logic that he's going to present to Alex may be completely flawed, oh, well, that's fine, because Alex will believe anything he says and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, especially in a double eviction, I can see him just spouting this sort of like nonsense explanation and she'll just, like, won't be able to understand it, but she'll be like, oh, it's whatever. I trust you, Paul. Just do whatever you need to do.
Right. Well, and they've discussed that they, or, well, I mean, I know Paul has thrown out a lot of possibilities, but he has speculated that we might have the double eviction coming up this week, although he's all, you know, so he could be onto something, although he's also speculated that we're going to get the Sunday eviction, like, I don't know how many weeks in a row, which kind of reminds me of sort of the apocalyptic, like, predicting people, like, he's sort of this, like, doomsday prepper. He's like, okay, guys, I've counted the number of apples on the wall. No, it's this week. We're definitely having a Sunday eviction this week.
Oh, wait, it didn't happen? Silly me.
I miscounted.
It's next week. Oh, man. Definitely. I can't believe it's so embarrassing on my part. Man, we should all be dead right now. But then Josh talks to the cameras and he lets us know he's disappointed that he couldn't get Christmas on board with him to fight against this plan to take Alex off the block. But now that he was unable to, he has to just go along with it. He says, I am not going to turn on Paul or Christmas. They are my ride or dies. I'm sticking with them to final three. Then at final three, it's every man for himself. That's when I start playing for myself. It seems as though he does plan on taking Christmas to the end, at least right now. So that's kind of our only hope. I really think he should be taking a shot at final four if he's able, or even final five if that's possible. But it sounds like he's going to wait until final three.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think you and Lita discussed this on the morning update about how Josh, you know, kind of has these oscillating viewpoints where he's suspicious of Paul, but on the other hand, he says, oh, Paul is, you know, one of my ride or dies, which you can't have more than one, but whatever. And now I think based on the conversation that he had to the cameras yesterday, it does seem that he's not going to be willing to take the shot before final three. You know, he talks about how Christmas and Paul are his number one and number two, and he doesn't want anyone else to win except for, you know, one of the three of them. And he won't go against them, you know, now or ever until the final three. And so it just seems like Josh, I think, I don't know if it's like whether or not he's just accepted his fate that he wasn't able to sway Christmas. So he's not going to be able to take a shot until final three, which kind of, you know, if this is the Steve Moses analogy, right? Like, Steve realized that he wasn't able to take a shot at Vanessa earlier. And so he had to wait until final three in order to, you know, get her out and then take the win. And so this could be a very similar situation to that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the dangerous thing here is that, and it's hard to know because we haven't gotten Paul's end game plans in a while, but the dangerous thing is that obviously it's in Paul's best interest to win that final four HOH as he plans on doing. And then throw the veto, very Dan Gheesling to Memphis style thing where he throws the veto to either Kevin or Raven, whoever else is there, so that they can take out one of Josh or Christmas, go down to the final three with one from each, and then voila, he's got the win, basically, because I imagine Christmas or Josh, if they haven't been betrayed by Paul, will take Paul to the end. And of course, Raven, I believe, will absolutely take Paul. That's why I think he should want Raven. Kevin, I don't know. I feel like Kevin could not take Paul. I feel like Kevin could easily take Christmas and even potentially take Josh over Paul if he wins that final three HOH.
Yeah, Kevin is actually interesting to think about because sort of a lot of the relationships that he had established up until this point in the game have now started to crumble so much. I mean, he was really close with Christmas. That has sort of fallen apart. Paul has been abusing him, so I don't know how he feels about Paul. So if Kevin were actually put in a situation where it required some sort of decision making on his part, I really don't know what Kevin would do.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so confused, because like it seems so obvious. I mean, unless Paul just doesn't realize that Raven would definitely take him and that he would almost assuredly beat her, it's hard to say like why he feels like Kevin is a better person to take further in the game. I don't know. It just feels like this is such a rock solid plan, and I'll be very confused if he doesn't go through with it. Obviously, again, he hasn't talked to us. He's only talked to Christmas and Josh, and telling them what they want to hear in terms of Raven going first. And obviously they're going to be in the final three makes complete sense. So maybe he does have an alternative plan. But it would be very confusing to me if he stuck with this. He went Raven first. And then, especially if he then took Kevin out, then like now you're risking your whole game on a crapshoot final three, part three competition where like Christmas probably takes Josh and Josh probably takes Christmas. That's a really bad spot to be.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I know we talk about positioning yourself between two pairs. Like you don't want to be the third person, like be that third wheel in a pair come final three. So if he really does end up, I mean, I cannot believe that he would be, you know, any situation that he would want to be in. Like, I assume that he would really absolutely want to prevent that and try and split up Christmas and Josh. So it's just going to be interesting considering him, you know, how threatened he seems to be by Raven and possibly Kevin, whether or not he, you know, realizes the threat that having both Josh and Christmas together poses to his game.
Yeah, and we speculated last night that maybe Paul doesn't recognize that it's a crapshoot, but as Nikki points out in the chat, he did mention that, like, oh yeah, part three is it's really annoying because it's pretty crapshooty. So he even knows that this is coming. So I have to imagine that he's got some sort of other plan here, and that's why like leaving Kevin in doesn't make as much sense to me, because you want to be able to throw that final four veto to somebody, and it's going to be hard to throw it to Kevin. I think you can much more easily throw it to somebody like Raven, if that's possible. So, man, it's a weird situation. We'll see what Paul ends up doing. Hopefully we can see that soon, because the double eviction will be coming up very soon, and we'll see what Paul does moving forward. So, we also have Christmas talking to Josh. She has some ideas about why they might have some difficulty in the final two. She feels like they each have equal sort of downside X's, as she calls them, where Paul is a vet, and so they don't want somebody who played last year to win the game. She really feels like the jury might hold it against him. If Paul heard this, it would be music to his ears. He's been saying this all season long. She feels like they might say that she's been riding coattails, and she feels like Josh has called too many people out. So those are the things that she feels will count against them in the final two. Honestly, I don't think she's correct about any of those things, except for maybe Josh.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's fair. And, you know, Christmas has said she's going to argue the loyalty angle when she gets to the end. But that's based on her assumption that she's riding coattails. So I don't know if that's her trying to like make her what she perceives to be her greatest weakness into her greatest asset. Like, oh, I care too much. So I'm not 100% sure, you know, where she's coming from on that perspective. What I think is actually the most interesting is what she perceives to be Paul's biggest threat, because or his biggest weakness, because if it's true, which I don't think it is, I agree with you, that being a vet is going to be a detriment to him when he gets to the end. It almost sort of feels like this weird self-fulfilling prophecy where Paul has said, you know, throughout the game, like, oh, I'm a vet, you know, people like don't want vets to win. And so he sort of set up this mentality that, oh, you know, being a vet against a newbie is bad for the vet. And so it would just be hilarious to me if he somehow got to the end and then that's the reason why the jury didn't vote for him, because he's a vet. I just would find that very fulfilling.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a valid reason to not vote for him. Obviously, it gave him such a leg up in the game. And it wasn't even like, a coach situation or a there's a few different vets on the season situation where it's like he was the only vet he was giving. It's like, he's Godzilla in a playground. He's just like stomping around. That's a weird analogy.
Why is Godzilla in a playground? Wouldn't Godzilla be in Tokyo?
I guess so. Maybe it's a playground in Tokyo. Muscle Park. Yeah. It's just if you're going to discredit Paul for any reason, I think, saying you were a vet is a very valid reason to be like, yeah, you had such an advantage. Look at the person next to you. They had to do a lot more work. Problem is, there's really nobody that could be sitting next to him that had to do more work. He really has done everything in the season. It's very much a Boston Rob kind of situation where it's like, even if you wanted to be like, yeah, it was your fourth time though, it's like, who's your alternative? Philip? Like, no.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, exactly. And that's the thing is that just because Paul has been saying, oh, being a vet is a detriment, doesn't actually make that true. I mean, that's the point, right? Like he lost to a vet when he lost. So, clearly this is a situation where being a vet is, I don't think, really going to count against him. And what we saw in our jury segments is how Mark and Elena and Cody are saying, I can't remember who said it, but it was like, they're not playing Big Brother, they're playing Big Paul. So clearly there are members of the jury who, as long as they're not bitter about the situation, know how much work Paul is putting in and would hopefully reward the person who did the most work and who deserves to win the game.
Yes. Well, Christmas does have another theory. She feels like we're basically guaranteed. I feel like two of us are going to be top two. One of us is going to be America's favorite player. And again, I keep saying this. I feel like Christmas's end game here is to have Paul and Josh in the final two. And I think maybe part of that is because she doesn't think she can win. And I think part of that is also because I think she wants America's favorite player. She is a public figure. The first night on the feeds, she was pimping her book out. Like this is what she's here for. I really think that's it.
Yeah, I could definitely see that being the situation. I mean, I remember being super frustrated with her in those early days of the feeds. I was like, shut up about your book. I don't care about your book. Like, play Big Brother. But if that really is her endgame, and think about how much these house guests talk about Instagram followers and what, how many fans I'm going to have after the show, that would not surprise me at all if that seems to be her priority. And if she really thinks that, oh, I played the loyalty game, is a good argument going into the final two, like, no, maybe you're not actually so concerned with winning and you do just care about your public image and where winning America's favorite player.
Yeah. And I mean, think about it, because the very first care pack, whatever it was, temptation went to Paul, obviously. And so she sees Paul as the big fan favorite. And the next one went to her and she was aligned with Paul at that moment. And I feel like that really solidified America loves me and Paul. And mm-hmm. So that's just been her entire mindset moving forward from that moment has been, I am going to be a fan favorite coming out of this house because I worked with Paul and everyone loves me, and look at our alliance, we're doing so great. I really feel like this is her motivation. If you're trying to understand why Christmas is saying things like it's fine, I'll take the bullet, I think it's because she feels like America is respecting this kind of gameplay.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I actually, I wanted to ask you, because from our perspective, from a live feeder's perspective, we have who we think should win America's favorite player. But I think taking a step back and considering what the edit looks like, for example, Alex, who has been completely represented completely differently. I mean, she's getting the James Hewling edit, I think, is something that I've seen comments about, how she's perceived by the casuals and people who are just watching the show and aren't keeping up with live feeds, which, they are people who are going to be voting in this as well. Right. This is not OTT. We're not going to have, just the people who are obsessed with the live feeds voting. I'm really curious to see where AFP is going to go, because to be honest, I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cody has a really great shot I think that especially if they keep doing the jury segments, he is very much the star of the jury house right now. Mm-hmm. And that will help him. Obviously the casuals loved, Jody. I think Jason has a really good shot as well. Obviously, the comments, the jokes that he has made, have not really made the edit at all. So the casual fan base has just seen like the funny clown Jason. They've seen his family. This will probably be an emotional send-off. People are not super happy that they have to vote Jason out of the house. So this could be like a very compelling exit, which would help his case. I don't think Alex will. I think she's been made out to be a fool, especially in this last week. I think Kevin obviously has a decent shot with, you know, him just being Kevin. But I really feel like Cody has the strongest case, other than, of course, Cameron, who is going to win America's Favorite Player with my endorsement.
Malcolm?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Right. Of course. Sorry. I got confused.
Yeah, seriously though, guys, vote Cameron, America's favorite player, first one out.
Totally
to tie in with the Survivor podcast I've been editing. First one out. All first right. So then we have Christmas. She had an idea. She's been trying to play chess with Raven for a little while. Raven, who has been claiming, you know, I am a chess master, I am so good at chess. Christmas finally had a chance to play chess with Raven and just decimated her. She was like, I gave her so many opportunities and she just kept saying, oh, it's been so long since I've played. She really feels like this girl may have some psychological issues, if not like if she doesn't have all these physical ailments, I feel like it might be psychological.
I don't think that spatial reasoning and logic puzzles are really important for Mensa. So that's probably why she didn't do so well. No, it was, and you know, go back and either there, I'm sure there are stills of this, but when Raven sets up the chessboard, she flips the pawns, right? So it's like the back row are white pieces and then the pawns are black. And Chris's is would be like, no, honey, like you gotta flip those. It's like, oh no, this is not starting well. I mean, they didn't have high hopes for Raven playing chess anyway, but that was just sort of the, you know, the very first taste of what we were going to see.
Yeah. I mean, they, at this point, they all are pretty on board with this idea that like, this girl's a pathological liar. Like this is insane.
Yeah. Well, and it's so funny because this has been a running theme, especially throughout yesterday, where Paul is just super annoyed with Raven and Raven just sort of follows him around everywhere. I have like quotes from so many different people, Paul talking to Jason, Paul talking to Josh, Paul talking to Christmas about how annoying Raven is and how Raven just won't leave him alone. And then I took a break, ate dinner, came back and I see on feeds, Raven has cornered Paul in the hammock. It's just talking to us. And then Christmas like gets up, leaves. And then, you know, she's talking to, I think, Jason maybe, and says something of like, oh, should we go save Paul? And she's like, no, let him squirm for a while. Yep. So, which is hilarious because, you know, we talk about like getting people out for strategic reasons. And I kind of feel like this turn to Raven may not be strategic, but maybe just because Paul is simply so annoyed with her.
Yeah, exactly. He's very annoyed. I really do think that may be factoring into his decision to take her out first. She lost her handler in Matt and now she's she's just all over the place. It reminds me of, Rachel Riley, season 12, when they'd all just like, they'd play a game of like, how long can you stick somebody with Rachel or Brendan? It gets to the point where like somebody becomes the social pariah, but you can't say anything about it, right? And so they're just like, they're complaining like crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Well, at least in season 12, they made it funny. Like it was a game. This is just them complaining.
Right. Or like, yeah, I mean, I just like remember specifically, especially from 13, right, where it was like, okay, you have to deal with Rachel now. And just like, yeah, oh my goodness. Just the Jordan like not being happy that she has to deal with Rachel. This is like a very similar situation.
Yeah. Although I do feel like, you know, credit to Rachel. She was not, a Raven.
Yeah, yeah.
At least. Yeah.
No, Raven's awful.
Okay. So then we have, they got a party. They finally got a party. I guess there was enough. The hostilities had died down enough. Cody's no longer in the house. Mark's no longer in the house. Crazy Eye Matt is not in the house either. So they can give them some alcohol and throw them a party. And man, Raven just like screeching. She like screeched into Paul's ear, and he was just like, "God, I got like a migraine now."
She would not stop screeching. I don't know what was happening. I don't know if she was like, we've talked about like Matt embodying her, right, with the cereal and the shirts and stuff. I don't know if she was just trying to like yell like him, but it was pretty terrible. Again, it's kind of funny to see on some of the house guests. I was like, if you're going to abuse Kevin like this, you deserve Raven yelling in your ear.
They're perfect for each other. Can you imagine a fight between Raven and Matt? What? What are you talking about? What?
I think the octaves. Yeah, no. The register that would hit would break glass. Like, talk about, those, like, what is it, like Memorex commercials, or is like breaking the glass? Yeah. No, this is going to like really damage any glassware that might be around.
There's a White as Kids You Know sketch that I love. It's called like Talk Louder and With Your Mouth More Open. And I feel like it would just completely evolve to that. Look it up on YouTube. It would completely devolve into that. We also have, like I said, there's the psychological impact of this season has really been grating on these people. Paul is starting to break down. He's saying, man, this is really starting to weigh on me, all of this stuff. And apparently he also got some bad news from home that he confides in with Christmas. He doesn't tell her what it is, but he ends up crying a little bit. She's comforting him. A heavy moment for Paul.
Yeah, this was not a fun party. You know, like sometimes when like you're a happy drunk, well, I mean, they got two beers, so it's not like they were even drinking that much, but like sometimes you just get sad. And I think that this is a situation where like what we've talked about is just, it's been so crushing this season. And, Big Brother is just hard in general on your mental health. And so this is a situation where Paul did get some personal news. Again, yeah, we also don't know what it is because he didn't talk about it on feeds, but it just seemed to be really tough for him. And Christmas is a person that he kind of confides in and talks to and is, the sounding board for him and all of the emotions that he's feeling.
Yeah. And some people are saying like, this is maybe a lie because they don't usually get personal information. I'm tending toward the side of, I think this is probably true. Somebody in the chat, Christina, speculates maybe it was one of his dogs. I also saw on social media that his girlfriend had recently said that she was going to take a break from social media. So that timing is a little strange. There was also some talk about people not signing releases and the feeds cut away from them. So we could have a situation kind of similar. I believe this happened to Austin, where his girlfriend pulled her release so that he could no longer talk about her. That may have happened. There are a few different things that may have happened here. It's unfortunate for Paul. And he did seem pretty affected by it.
Yeah, and definitely watching his body language and just the way that he was behaving when he was talking to Christmas, it really didn't seem like this was a game move. I mean, I think that something did genuinely, he did genuinely get some news, and it's affecting him. And it's, it's not something that he's trying to use for personal gain inside this game.
Yeah, well, I do think he took a little bit of advantage with it. He was like, when he was talking about being overwhelmed by this, he's like, I'm not even going to win the game.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
But I do think it was a genuine moment. He's always gaming, and that's part of what I think is affecting him here. Then we also had Josh breaking down. He was hanging out with Jason, having a great time with him. I think he's really, really feeling guilty about pulling one over on him. And it's hard to blame. I really do feel like Jason is kind of like a Judd figure here. Everyone in the house loves Jason, and they don't want to have to send him home, but they are blindsiding him here.
Yeah, Josh and Jason really do kind of have this, I don't know if heart to heart is really the right word, but they do start to open up a little bit. I mean, we have Jason telling Josh that he is bothered by Alex and how she behaves sometimes in the house, and that she can be spiteful and that she can be mean and be cruel to other people, which is hilarious because then Alex like pops in and says something mean about Kevin, like right after they're talking about that, which is perfect juxtaposition. But anyway, so I think that this really appeals to Josh, you know, and sees Jason as a separate part of that pair, and really does like him and feels so bad about the situation. Like he breaks down, he's crying about it later. And this is why we might not see an actual blindside, which, you know, Josh has toyed around with the fact of telling Jason and Alex about, you know, the possible blindside so that he can try and save jury votes. And but I think this kind of emotional connection that he's now had with Jason is definitely going to cause Josh to want to tell Jason about the upcoming blindside.
Yes. And, you know, Josh mentioned it to Paul. He's saying he's feeling really bad. Paul was like, hey, no, you don't get to feel bad. You better vote him out. He's like, don't worry, I'm going to vote him out. It's just like, you know, I feel bad. Like, you know, like, can I have emotions? And Paul's like, no, I feel bad for him too, but you got to vote him out. I feel like this could be I think the editors will want to try to make this a thing, like, right? Like, we're totally going to see Josh breaking down in front of Jason, like feeling really bad about this. I really think they're going to have an emotional send off for Jason, which is again why I think that there may be a push for a Jason America's Favorite Player vote. So we could be in for an emotional eviction night on Thursday, but who knows? We certainly will have the double eviction, and that will be exciting to see Alex finally, hopefully, leave.
I absolutely think it's going to be emotional, because I think that, you know, in when Jason is put up on the block and has that reaction where he like falls on the floor, right, there was the discussion of whether or not that was real or whether or not he was acting, and that like that was real as far as we know. And Jason does respond emotionally. And I mean, there's not absolutely nothing wrong with that. He's just a person who feels his emotions strongly. And I think that in this situation, this is going to be another example of that. You know, I mean, him finding out about his wife, you know, all of that is going to weigh on him. And I kind of feel like we could have a very, very emotional eviction.
Yeah. And he is not the kind, to shun everyone and, you know, be mad. He's going to be upset, but he's going to take it well. And I think they're really going to try and celebrate this, as much as they can, from the producer end of things. So, that's about all I've got for today, unless Liana has anything else.
Well, I did have one other very innocuous incident that happened, but I just absolutely have to bring it up. So Jason was floating on the like pink peacock out in the pool in the backyard, and it's like slowly deflating because the bottom has perforated, like there's some hole in it. And so he's like attempting to blow it up, attempting to reflate it. He finally like realizes that this is an act of futility, flips it over, realizes that it's broken, goes, oh my God, and then continues to try to inflate it, which I just feel like it's such a perfect analogy for Jason in this game. He's like, it's like, oh, there's this instinct of like, maybe this isn't working, maybe I should try and figure something out, and then no, continues along the same path that is not good for him.
Yeah,
so I just had to bring that up.
Very much so. I believe they were attempting to fix that that hole all night, and I don't think they ended up being able to do it.
Well, yeah, and Trejo, the Paul's other like floaty, all, like sprung, had a leak also. Yeah. And I think Christmas tried to fix it with like the barbecue or the oven or something. So
yeah,
it's been tough for all the floaties in the house as well.
Yeah, I mean, the psychological problems, the floaty problems, it's a rough week in the house. All right. So that is our live feed update for today. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens on the feeds today. Of course, check out the Taryn Show with Aubrey Bracco, just dropped today. Lots of fun stuff in that interview. If you're a Survivor fan, even if you're not a Survivor fan, there's lots of interesting stuff about how she's handled the controversy about her season, the jury vote, her thoughts on that, and then also how she's dealt with just like that gap between when you play, when it airs, knowing that you lost the whole time, not being able to tell anyone. It's got to be so hard. And plenty of other stuff. She fancies herself a storyteller, and she's very good at telling stories. So make sure you check that one out. Lots and lots of fun. And then, of course, tomorrow at after the episode, we will be live with Donnie Thompson to talk about the veto. I've mentioned on a previous update that I really feel like Kevin is in a Donnie-like position. So hopefully we can get some Donnie opinions about Kevin and everything happening there. So check that out. And of course, again, check me out on TV. I was on American Ninja Warrior in the Vegas finals in the crowd last night. And I wasn't competing. Someday I'll be competing. Don't worry about it. But I was in the crowd. Some people found me. And make sure you check out the podcast where we'll tell our story of traveling to Vegas. Lots of fun stories there. And recap everything that's happening there. So lots of fun stuff. Make sure you check it all out. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Liana is at Liana Boris. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.